Coffin Talk. Welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, interfaith relations, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. Today I have invited Alvaro Cardinal Ramazzini to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Cardinal Ramazzini, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Hi, Beate. I hope you are doing very, very well. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your program.
Alvaro Cardinal Ramazzini is the Bishop of Huehuetenango, Guatemala. He was born and ordained in Guatemala, and in October 2019, Pope Francis appointed him cardinal. He is the third cardinal of his country. Cardinal Ramazzini, could you please introduce your country briefly to our listeners in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Guatemala is the first country after Mexico, and then Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, Central America. We are the first country if we see to the south. Guatemala, it's a very, very small country. We are only 17 million people. And the majority of our people in Guatemala belongs to the very, very ancient Indian, not tribes, but ethnics here in Guatemala. At this time, here in Huehuetenango, we have 9 different ethnic groups. And they are descendant of the very, very old Mayan civilization. Guatemala, it's a country with history in many sense, very, very sad, because we lived an armed conflict during 17 years. And this caused many sufferings, many pains to many people. Many people had to go outside from Guatemala to Mexico and other parts of the world because their lives were in danger. Guatemala is it's a kind of a contradictory country, because we have a lot of resources. We export coffee, we export the sugar cane, we export bananas, but the majority of our people is poor. We think that at this moment, 60% of our population is poor.
Cardinal Ramazzini, what means poor for a Guatemalan?
Poor means people eat only twice a day. People don't have the money for buy the medicines they need. People don't have very, very good jobs with very, very good salaries. One of the problems of Guatemala is the concentration of the wealth in small groups, and they control the economy of the country.
So the wealth is concentrated on very few people, and the big majority is really poor.
Yes, and one sign of this poverty is many, many Guatemalans are looking to go to the United States, because in the United States they can find jobs and very, very good salaries. It's important to say that at this moment, the income of money come from the United States, from the Guatemalan people, because in United States they work a lot, and they send the money to their families. So this is a small note about my country. But our people is nevertheless the poverty, nevertheless the lack of opportunities, because our country is in the majority is young people. We have about 60% of our population is very, very young. When I say very young, I mean people between 1 to 24 years old. So the majority of population is young, and this is a richness, but this is also a kind of problem, because if these young people don't find jobs or don't have the opportunities to study, it will be very, very bad for them.
So it's a richness, it's a wealth, but at the same time, it's a responsibility for the government and everybody involved. It's a responsibility.
Yes, but we have, in the last years, we have had governments very, very weak and not so attentive to the needs of our population. This is sad to say, but it's the truth. Mm.
Cardinal Ramazzini, can you tell us also a little bit more about the Catholic Church in Guatemala? Are there big parishes, or are there many people who are Catholic? Can you tell us more about the Catholic Church in Guatemala?
Actually, we face the problem of a very, very strong proselytism of different evangelical groups, and they are trying to convert Catholic people to their evangelical groups. This is a challenge for Catholic Church. If we be so honest, I have to say that we had lost many, many Catholics because they went to these different evangelical groups. It's very difficult to know why they have had this choice, but this is the fact. But actually, in Guatemala, I have the more or less the idea that 55% of population, or more, 65% of our population is Catholic. Here in Huehuetenango, I think we have about 900,000 Catholic people. And here in Huehuetenango, we are almost 1.5 million of people. So in Huehuetenango, the majority is still Catholic. We have in these dioceses, we have 32 parishes, mm-hmm. and we have 42 priests, and our parishes are big parishes.
When you say big parish, so you have 32 parishes and 42 priests.
Every parish has a priest, mm-hmm. because, but in some cases, two priests, they have the pastoral care of four different parishes. So two for one. Yes, but our parishes are big, not only big in the sense of the population, because an Easter here in Huehuetenango City, in which I am living, the parish, it's about 80,000 people, Catholic people, 80,000.
In one parish?
In one parish, yes. And here in this parish are only two priests. And myself, I try to help the priests here. But we have here one parish with 100,000 people and only two priests to serve all this population. So we have a lack of priests. But I have to say that many lay people is involved in the pastoral care, and they are for us great help. They are really great help.
So the priests, they accept the lay people and they accept their support, because without the lay people, it would be way too much work for the priests. Is that correct?
Yeah, especially because the lay people, they are catechists. They teach the doctrine. They prepare the people for to receive the sacraments. And the parish priests go there to celebrate the sacraments, but the preparation and all the teaching about the Bible or about our faith, this job is done by these catechists.
Does it also help that if you have a catechist, they would speak the local languages?
Yes, and this is very important. But we have also some priests, and they speak two or three of the languages, because here in this diocese, we have 8 different Indian languages. And all the priests of Huehuetenango, they were born here. So they are, in Spanish we say, Huehuetecos. And some of them are Indians, and they speak their own language, but also they speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And Cardinal Ramazzini, you are of Latin American of Italian descent, just like Pope Francis. Did you know Pope Francis before he was elected Pope?
Yes, I met him 3 or 4 times before the celebration of Aparecida. You know Aparecida, the big Latin American, yeah. And at that time, I was president of our conference here, and the Cardinal Bergoglio was the president of the Argentinian Bishops Conference. And so we met for the preparation of Aparecida, and I met him. Yes, I knew him before.
And so some people, they say Pope Francis is continuing the work that started with Pope John the 23rd and with Vatican II, opening windows and doors and letting the Holy Spirit in. Do you agree with this picture?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. 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 If you read the doctrine of this Pope Francis, you can find many, many contents of the Second Vatican, and also the teachings from John Paul II and Benedict XVI.
Last year, so Pope Francis launched the Synodal Journey for all Catholics in the world. And we were asked to organize reflection groups and reflect on our dreams for the Catholic Church. As it is a global initiative, the Pope would also be expecting feedback from Guatemala. So can you tell us a little bit of how did the Guatemalans approach this synodal journey?
Oh, we are doing the work that the Central Committee for the Synod expects from us. So actually in all the dioceses and also in the apostolic vicarates here in Guatemala, we are working, preparing the paper who will be the result of the consultation we are doing in all our parishes. In the coming July, we have to make
submission.
Yes, and we will send to the Central Committee in Rome. Mm-hmm. Because this is the way for preparing the synod. Yeah, we are so involved in this work of preparation.
So in many ways, so you are advanced of some other countries.
And I don't know the situation in other countries, but we are trying to do the best.
Wonderful. And you have received already some feedback from the Catholics in your country?
Actually, we are receiving this feedback, and the parish priest, they have to put all in order, and then this content will be sent to we belong to an ecclesiastical province here in Huehuetenango. We belong to Quetzaltenango. Quetzaltenango is the archdiocese. we will send this to the Archdiocese of Quetzaltenango, and then the Archbishop of Quetzaltenango will send this material to our national conference, and the national conference receive all these contents from all the whole country, and this material will be sent to Rome.
Okay, so that the Vatican gets all the information, and that must be a lot of work to go through information from all over the country, the world. Cardinal Ramatini, a few months ago, you also participated in the Ecclesial Assembly for the Church in Latin America and the Caribbean. Can you tell us more about this special event?
Okay. The CELAM is the name of the council from all the churches of Latin America. And they are reorganizing the structure of the CELAM. And for doing this, they sent to all dioceses and archdioceses in Latin America some questions, a lot of questions. And we answered to these questions in order to prepare this ecclesial assembly, as you said. And we discussed this in the last November in Mexico. We read all the results of this survey, how is the Christian life in our countries, which are the problems, which are the challenges, which are our hopes. And all this content was written and was sent to each bishops in Latin America, and we prepared a document, and this document could be very useful to prepare the synod, because the synod is for the entire church in the world, but this ecclesial assembly was only for Latin America. So we could discuss our problems, our hopes, our challenges, as I said before. And it was very useful because we did a work in order not only to prepare this assembly, but also to prepare this synod. So we have a lot. And I think our work will be very, very useful for the Central Committee in Rome. This Central Committee are preparing the synods.
And can you tell us more about some of these challenges? Are there similarities? You mentioned earlier that you have a very young population and you have a huge challenge with evangelical churches. Is that something that other countries in Latin America also are struggling with?
In some countries of Latin America, they face the problem of the secularism. And also in other countries, all the situation of the Indian communities continue to be a big challenge for the whole churches. The lack of priests, the lack also of politicians with a sense of the social doctrine of the church, and also the poverty, the injustice, social structures. This I can mention.
And also when it comes to involving the laity, is there something that might be different to Europe or the Western countries or New Zealand? Is there what you mentioned that a lot of lay people are involved? Is that happening in many countries in Latin America? Do you know?
Yes. Yeah? Yes. In many, many countries, the lay people is a kind of salvation for us. Hmm. Because in many countries of Latin America, the lack of priests is so big and the lay people is so involved. And when I speak about the lay people, I am thinking also in the religious life, in the sisters who work very, very hard to evangelize the people, to do the catechesis, etc., etc. But for us in Latin America, the lay people is a kind of richness.
Yeah. They would bring also the diversity, and as you mentioned, with the languages and different approaches, and they are men and women in the laity. And so with this, there used to be this term comunidades de base, the basic communities, where you have very small communities that work together, but you mentioned huge parishes. Are these parishes then divided in small communities? How can I imagine it?
Yes, but it's not the type of small communities or base communities, as you say. Here in the Indian cultures, the sense of community is so big. So for us, it wasn't difficult to make these small communities, because the people is used to have these kind of communities. So we have these kind of communities, small. We have the big parish. The big parish is divided into regions. Each region is divided in communities. Communities, they are dividing in communities with 50 families or 60 families or 6 families. So we have this kind of organization from the base, 6 communities or 6 families make one community, or 25 families, they are a community. They all this community form a deanery, and this deanery form part of the parish, and then the parish form part of the diocese. So it's a very good organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite. It sounds quite complicated, but it's understandable.
It's not so complicated. It's not so complicated. And people is used to have this kind of organization, and this is good.
Yeah, so when you travel your diocese, you meet the people, and you have, like when you have confirmation, you don't just have 50 people who come for confirmation, you have big groups.
Actually, for this problem of the COVID, I need to reduce the number of people for confirmation. But before, sometimes I had 400 people for confirmation. Yes, last week I was in a parish and I confirmed about 700 people was confirmed. 700.
Oh,
yeah. So it is a lot of work for the bishop.
And you've just mentioned COVID and the impact on the communities. How has the impact been in Guatemala? Because here in New Zealand, for example, there have been a lot of Zoom messes on Zoom or on YouTube and on television. And now people are slowly going back to church. Can you tell us just in a few words how it was in Guatemala and how is it in Guatemala at the moment?
Actually, the government say we are in yellow or green color. But in the last months, we have lost about 17,000 people died from the COVID. Yes. And almost 1 million of people was infected. But some months ago, the program of vaccination started, and actually many, many people had the vaccine, and this is good. But in Guatemala, we don't have a very, very real statistics, because I am sure many people has died from COVID, but the families didn't say was COVID. Yes, so the reason is the ignorance of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So was there a mass during the time of the peak of COVID, or did you close the churches?
We closed the churches. almost during 1.5 years. Yes. Actually, we are starting to open the churches. Yeah. There are no restrictions, but they have to use the mask. They have to wash the hands before to go into the churches. And then they receive the Holy Communion on the hand, not on the mouth. Because here in Guatemala, many people receive the communion
in their tongue.
But actually, this is forbidden. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm just following up from when you said about the evangelical groups, because with the synodal journey, the Pope has asked people, also those who may be a lapsed Catholic, maybe people who have left the Catholic Church, to get them involved. Did that work in Guatemala? Well, you had, on top of everything, of course, the COVID, but if you have people who are coming together to reflect on the synodal journey, on the hope of and the future of the church, could you include some of the people from who have left the church, do you think?
It's a kind of difficult because there are many prejudices and also many a lot of lack of confidence. And in some cases, a lot of fanaticism, and people in these cases don't use their intelligence for having the chance to understand this is the true or this is the true. But fanaticism is in some places here in Guatemala very, very strong, and this is not helpful. Absolutely.
And once we have now all the information with the Vatican, and then it will take a while until they work through all the different submissions from all over the world. And how confident are you that we'll have positive changes, that things will be adapted in the future, according to what people say about their dreams, so that it's not just disappearing?
No. I am optimistic because at least the chief of the church is our Lord Jesus Christ. So he knows how to guide this church, and his promises are real. So I have confidence. And in different times of the history, the mankind had to face different problems, and almost the Holy Spirit pushing many people to go forward, to go forward. And this is my hope. I am sure of this.
Thank you so much, Cardinal Ramazzini. This has been really interesting to learn about Guatemala, about the challenges in Guatemala, and then also to see you have the challenges in the country anyways, and then on top of it, you have COVID, 1.5 years of having the churches closed. We had 4 months in Auckland or 5 months in Auckland. It's not such a long time. And yet it is difficult to get people back to church to have that confidence. And thank you very much for taking the time and come for this Zoom interview.
No, thank you. Thank you for this initiative, Beate. Thank you.
And thank you. And I just wanted to say a couple of words for Titi Ponamo. So our next sessions will be with Brother Kieran Finn, and it will be about Bible studies, Friday the 20th of May, 7 to 8:30, Mary, our inspiration. And then on Mondays, the 13th, the 20th, the 27th of June, 7 to 8:30, St. Paul, the first missionary. All events are on my website at www.studyjoy.nz. And for more information or registration, contact me at info@studyjoy.nz. I wish you all a good Friday and a wonderful week ahead. Thank you, Cardinal Ramazzini.
Out there, old pieces calling in the bonds of love we meet. For the